Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. So we got to the last three lines of Kuf Lamed Ches. I mean, Beis, the Gemara is talking about this unfortunate reality that will be that Torah is going to be forgotten from Am Yisrael. So in response to this is the Gemara quotes a Brisa Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Chas v'shom shetishtachach Torah Miso. Chas v'shom that we forget the Torah. That's not going to happen. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Kilo sishachach mipizaro. We're not going to forget the Torah at all. So what do we mean? How do we understand the Pasuk in Amos, which indicates we will forget? What does it mean they're going to seek out the word of God and not find it? It doesn't mean that they're forgetting Torah. They're not going to find the clarity of how to paskin, but they're not going to forget the halacha. Rashi explains halacha brura betamim shlo ye b'machlokes. So they're not going to find clear reasons without there being machlokes, but we're still going to remember the Torah. There's going to be just some machlokes, but not chas v'shalom that we'll forget what's going on. Gemara now says two lines down on Kuf Lamates, Tanya Rabbi Yosi ben Elisha Omer, Imra Isa Dor. If you see a door, should Saras Rabos Baos Allah. You see a generation where unfortunately terrible things are happening to them. Tehu Bedok Bedayane Yisrael. Go take a look, inspect the Dayanim. Shekol Peronios Shebali Olam. All bad things, all calamities that occur to us in the world. Lo Ba Elo Beshvil Dayane Yisrael. Only come about because of the Dayanim of Klal Yisrael. Shenamar, it says in the Micha, Shimu Nazos. Listen to this. Rashi Beis Yaakov Uktzinei Beis Yisrael. The heads of Beis Yaakov, the leaders of Beis Yisrael, Hamis Avin Mishpat, who ruin justice. Called Yeshara Yakeshu, they curve all that which is straight. Bonate Siyam Badamim, they build Eretz Yisrael using Damim. Damim either means money or it means murderers. The Yerushalayim Ba'avla, and Yerushalayim is built on lies. Roshea B'shochad Yishpotu, they judge based on bribery. The Chaneh B'mechir Yoru, and Kohanim Paskin Shai is based on selling. Uvenivyeh B'kesav Yiksomu, and Nevi'im prophesies based on money they receive. V'Hashem Yishanu, and yet they still say we rely on Hashem, which is completely false. Risham Hain, and these people are Risham. El Shetalu Bitchonam B'misha Amar Vahaya Olam. They're all Risham. They accept bribes, they murder, all that, and yet in the end they say, Baal Hashem Yishanu, we rely on Hashem. They speak one thing, but they don't really believe in it. They don't act that way. The Fikach, therefore, because of the way the judges act, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Shalosh Peranus, they bring three bad things to Am Yisrael. Keneged Shalosh Averos Shebiyadam, corresponding to their three Averos. Shenemar, it says, Lachem Beglalchem, because of them, Tzion Tzadeh Secharesh, the fields of Yerushalayim will be plowed over, Yerushalayim Iyon Tehiyah, and Yerushalayim will be a place of destruction, Vahar Bayis Lebamos Yar, and Har Bayis will be simply a forest. So then the Gemara says, Vein, it's certainly appropriate for the week of Tishba, these types of stories, Agatas. Vein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masha Shechinaso, Al Yisrael, Ad Sheyichlu, Shoftim V'Shotrim Ram, Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not allow the Shechinah to rest until the Klai says clean of all these terrible judges. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk in Shaya, Vashiva Yadi Alayach, I'm going to return my hand back upon you, V'etuf Kabor Sigayach, I'm going to remove all the terrible things, Kabor is like Boris, which is a type of soap, until I clean everything, all the terrible things within Am Yisrael, V'asir Kob B'dilayach, I'm going to remove all the, again, the bad part of Am Yisrael. V'ashiva Shavtayach, then I'll return your judgment, Kivirishona, like it was originally, V'yotzayach Kivatchila, and your advisors and counsel, like it once was. So Amr Ula says, Ein Yushlaim Nifta Ela B'tztaka. The only way Yushlaim will be redeemed is through the giving of Tztaka. Shenemar, Tzion B'mishpat, Tipade V'shaveh B'tztaka. The judgment of Tzion will return only through the redemption of Pidyon and through that of Tztaka. So Amr Rapapa says further along these lines, Batila Yihiri, Batili Amgushi. If the Yihiri is like Yehura, Gaiva, if Gaiva is Batil, if Gas is Ruach is Batil for Am Yisrael, so then we're going to be Batil Amgushi. What's Amgushi? Amgushi are those people who are Mesis, who try to coerce people to do the wrong thing. Rashi says the two narrow lines down in Rashi, Bali Amgushi, he says, Yibalu Masisim Madichen Hamasinim Osanu. Those people who try to missionize us to do other things we shouldn't be doing, those people will be Bato. Ibali Dayane, if we are Mevato, the judges, the Risham, the bad judges, then Bali Gizirpati, which is referring to the police, the officers, the non Jewish officers who are taking advantage and beating the Jews. So the Gemara says, "E batli yihire, batli amgushi." That idea, if we're mevatel or gaiva and we're humble, so then we're going to baruch Hashem mevatel the mesitim. But that's based on the pasuk dichsiv ve'etrof Kabur Sigayach, the Pasuk in Yeshayah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to wipe out Kabur, again, his lashon of a soap, detergent, he's going to clean everything out. That's that reference. And Ibali Dayane, Bali Gizipati, if we mevatel the bad judges, then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove the bad officers as well. That's based on the other part of the Pasuk, Tzfanya, Dichsiv, Heisi Hashem Mishpatayach, Pini Oivich. If you remove the bad judges, Mishpatayach, then Hashem will remove the enemies from within us. So the Gemara then says, still along these lines, Amar Rabbi Melai, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ma'idich said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Shavar Hashem Mate Risham, Shevet Moshlim? Hashem breaks the staff of the Risham and the staff of the Moshlim, the rulers. So this means, Shavar Hashem Mate Rishayim, he breaks the staff of the Risham, Elu, Dayanim, Shinasu Makel, Lechazaneim. It's the Dayanim who really make the stick, give a stick to Chazanim. They really support and encourage the terrible ways of the Chazanim. What do the Chazanim do? If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, around 10 narrow lines down, Shinasu Makel L'Chazaneim, Rashi is L'Shamshayim, to their people who assist them, their attendants. Nost and Yad, they give a hand, they give strength, they support what they do. Havilei L'Chozek Lomar Lo'ayeh Shliach. The Chazan says, I'm not going to be a Shliach. V'Azmin is plowing the Bezdin. I'm not going to summon whoever you want to come to Bezdin. Im Lo Sirbesh Schar, unless you pay me more money. V'Achar Psaktin, and when the Psaktin is given, that you have to carry the punishment to Reuven. Lo Erdenu Likanis L'Mashkan. I'm not going to go carry the punishment until you pay me back. So they're supporting these people who work in the court systems to let them collect money on what they're doing, which is incorrect. So then the Gemara says, the Pasuk of Shevet Moshlim, the staff of the rulers, Elu Tamidei Chachamim Shebimishpachos Hadayanim, the families of the judges of the Risham who support what they do, that's what this Pasuk references. So Marzutcha, Elu Tamidei Chachamim Shemlamden Hilchos Tzibor the Dayane Bor, where they teach the halachas of a Dayan to people who are ignorant. They're training the wrong Dayanim to be Dayanim. That's who this is a reference to. We see the whole theme here is, again, just distorted judgment, distorted mishpat. So Gemara then says further that Amar Rabbi Elazar bar ben Milai, Mishum Reish Lakish. My, what does the pasuk mean? Ki chapechem nigo'alu, that your hands are nigo'alu, it means they're dirty. Bedam, they're disgusting with blood. Vetzboseim ba'avon, and your fingers are filthy with sin. Sifsoseichem dibu sheken, your lips speak false. Lashonchem avla tege, and your tongue speaks false as well. What it means is ki chapechem nigo'alu badam, your hands are full of blood. Elu dayanim, the dayanim who judge incorrectly, who take bribery in the rishayim. When it means that, when it says Vetzbo Sechem, Bevan, that your fingers are full of sin, Elu Sofer Dayanim, those who write down the judgments based on these Dayanim Rishayim, and Sifsochem, Dibru Sheka, that your lips speak false, Elu Orche Dayanim, the various lawyers who teach people how to claim things that they shouldn't be claiming. And finally, Lishonchem Avla Sege, when it refers to the people who speak wrongly, Elu Bali Dinam, the people involved themselves in the Bali Dinam. So that every person who part of this courthouse is referred to as full of lies. So then the Gemara says, now we're moving on from this topic, but we're quoting a statement in the name of Amar Rebbe Melai. He brought a series of statements in his name, so we're going slightly off topic now, very off topic, but we're just bringing again another statement in his name, that Amar Rebbe Melai, Mishum Rebbe Yitzchak Migdalah, Yom Shapirish Yosef Me'achiv. From the day that Yosef had left from his brothers when he was sold down to Mitzrayim, Lo Tam Tam Yain, Yosef Atzadik didn't drink any wine. The Chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Ula Kadkod Nazir Echav. He's referred to as a Nazir. They use this Pasuk and Gemara actually to say that Yosef was actually a real Nazir. He taka was a real Nazir. And the other sources used to let his hair grow long, and many sources that Yosef was in fact a Nazir. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanin Amar, Afhein lo tamu tam yain. And even the other Shvatim also didn't drink wine either from the day they separated from Yosef. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, the day they met, they didn't know that it was Yosef at the time, but when they met down in Mitzrayim, it says, Vayishu, Vayishkuru, Imo, they drank together. Michlal de'ad he'inna, lo, they didn't, up until this point. So they all refrained from drinking wine until they reunited. Now, even though they didn't know it was Yosef, Yosef knew it was the brothers. So Yosef took a Nazir, I'm a Nazir until I reunite with my brothers. So he knew it was the brothers, he broke his Nazirs. The other brothers didn't know, but they couldn't refuse the king's, or the second in command, his wine, so they broke the Nazirs as well. So the Marsha asks the question, how come only Yosef is attributed to becoming a Nazir based on the Pasuk? Oh, so the brothers were Nazirim. Why are they not called Nazirim? So what the Marsha says is that because Yosef was really Mekabel Naziris, Sidaka did. The brothers just said, we're not going to drink wine. It wasn't Bataris Naziris, they just didn't drink wine until that point. They quote a sefer back here, the Ayah Hayam, it's a sefer, it's Yosef, on the Ein Yaakov quotes him, he says, no, because, no, really the brothers were a Nazir. They were Nazirim. But there's a fundamental difference between the Naziris of Yosef versus the brothers. Yosef took a Naziris because he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to be a Nazir. The brothers took a Naziris because it was based on tshuva. They did the wrong thing. They had to do tshuva. So they did it, they had to do it because did the wrong thing. It was part of the kapara. But Yosef wasn't really for altruistic reasons, and therefore it was a different type of Naziris, and therefore only Yosef was attributed a real Nazir, while their Naziris were truly a bidyeved type of Nazir. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, another statement in the name of Rabbi Milai, Amar Rabbi Milai, Bischar, V'racha, V'samach, Bilibo, Zacha, L'choshin, Hamishpat, Alibo. Again, nothing to do with what we're talking about, but again, Rabbi Milai says the statement that we know that Aaron greeted Moshe Beinu when he returned back from the Sneh to take lead out. Did I skip a line? Yeah, I skipped a line, I'm sorry. V'idach, the Gemara says, the other one who holds Rabbi Milai, who says that only Yosef was a Nazir, the Shichras hu delohava, Shtia mi'ahavim. They said when the brothers drank, they didn't become drunk until that point, but they definitely drank wine up until that point. So the difference is, what was new, suddenly it says, Vayishtu Vayishku, they became drunk. But before that time they drank, they didn't become drunk. Okay, another statement again, Amar Rabbi Milai, Bischar, V'racha V'samach B'libo. When Aaron greeted Moshe Beinu when he returned back from the Sneh, and he came to lead Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Aaron was so elated that his brother was appointed the leader, he wasn't jealous at all, V'racha V'samach B'libo. And as a result, the Zacha L'choshen Mishpat, Alibo, he's Zochan to wear the Choshen Mishpat on his heart. Maral says, what's the Mida Kenega Mida? Since Aaron had no Kinnah in his lave, he was Zochan to wear the Choshen Mishpat on his lave that indicated the Mida of a Kinnah that was not present in Aaron. So I once heard a question, they asked a question, how could Aaron have not been Zochan to this beforehand, the Choshen Mishpat? We have a din that a Kohen Gadol has 8 begadim. One of them is mechusse begadim. He can't wear. If you're missing one of the begadim, it's apostle. So how could there be a point in time where there would not have been a choshe mishpat? That would have only been 7 begadim, not 8 begadim. So I forgot to look up. There's machlokas Ramam Ravid, whether or not the choshe mishpat is really part of the 8. There's a different way how to count urim v'tumim choshe mishpat, how you count the 8. So according to one of them, the Ramam the Ravid, the choshe mishpat is actually not called one of the 8 begadim. And the Rai is, the Gemara in Yuma says that they were missing the Choshen Mishpat in the times of Bayis Sheni. Now, if they're missing the Choshen Mishpat in the times of Bayis Sheni, how could you have a Kohen Gadol in Bayis Sheni? So there's a different way to calculate the Epa Gadim, but they bring this as a Raya that Choshen Mishpat was not part of Epa Gadim from the very fact that Aaron may not have had it had not been for V'samach V'libo. Okay, the Gemara now says, Shalach Elei B'nei Bishchar, the people of a certain city. They sent Lelevi the following Shaila. Kila, are you allowed to spread this canopy? We discussed this the past couple of days. Can you spread this canopy over the four little poles on Shabbos? Is that allowed? Kshusa b'karma, they said mahu. They said a second question, kshusa b'karma mahu, kshusa some type of vegetable. They wanted to know whether it's a violation of kalayim, if you could plant it amongst grapes. And then a third question they sent him, mesa b'yantiv mahu. If a person dies on yantiv, are you allowed to be osek in the kvura? So the Gemara says, Ada Azil, when they sent it, before they were able to hear word back from Levi, Nach Nafshi de Levi. Levi was Nifter, so they didn't have any response from Levi. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says to Rab Nashia, I Chachimas, if you guys are intelligent, Shalachlu, you should send the Shaila to Rab Nashia. So Shalach Lehu, they sent to, B'nai Bishkar, they sent to Rab Nashia. Rab Nashia responded back to B'nai Bishkar. And Shulch Lehu, he sent the following answers, Kila. He says, in terms of using a kila, opening a canopy on Shabbos, chazarnu akol tidei kila, I looked in all the lachas, I did heavy research in finding whether you could do a kila on Shabbos or not. V'lo matinu latzad heter, I did not find any angle of heter, so it's usher to use a canopy on Shabbos. So lish lechu lehu kederami bar Yecheskel. So the Gemara invokes and says, why didn't he pass like Rami Bar Yecheskel? We said if the canopy is set up, just folding and unfolding, you're allowed to use a canopy. So how come he says there's no tzad heter, it's mamish usher? So the Gemara responds, "Lefisha einam b'nei Torah. B'nei Bishkar were not people of that were learned. They're very ignorant, Ami Haaretz. And he was concerned that if they were makel on this, they're going to be makel on other things. So he had to kind of draw the line and say, no, you can't make a kila, because if you make a kila, if you could undo a canopy on Shabbos, who knows what else they would do. It's a very slippery slope. So he's machmir for the city of B'nei Bishkar. So then the Gemara says, Keshusa, the karma, irbuvia. He says when it comes to planting a vegetable with the grapes, that's considered irbuvia, which is a mixture, which is kalayim. It's aser to do so. So Gemara says, how come it's aser to do that? V'lishlech lehu k'de Rabbi Tarfon. Why didn't he pass in the kula like the position of Rabbi Tarfon? The Tanya, kishus, Rabbi Tarfon omer, ain't kalayim b'karim. He does not think this vegetable, kishus, is subject to kalayim. And Chachamim omrim klaim bekerim. The Chachamim think that we do assume it's klaim. For klaim lan kol mekel ba'aretz halacha kamosu b'chutz la'aretz. There's a klal. We have the Gemara here, the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Kedushim, that whenever there's a machlokes legabe hilchos v'zrayim, we always take the linear approach for chutz la'aretz dinim. We say, kol ha-meikel ba'aretz, anyone who's leaning ba'aretz in Eretz Yisrael, even though we don't pass like them in Eretz Yisrael, we will pass like them in Chutzarts. And since Bei Vishchar was Chutzarts, we should pass in Lekula like that of Rabbi Tarfon, that ain't Kishus Belkerem. So how come he wasn't leaning for them? And the Gemara invokes again, they say, lefi she'enam b'nei Tar, because b'nei Bishchar were Ami ha'aretz, and if they allow this, who knows what else they would end up allowing as well. So he's machmir on this psak as well. And then the Gemara says, Machus Rav. Rav made an announcement. Haiman the Debai Lemizre Kishusa Bakarma Lizre. He made an announcement and he said, whoever wants to plant Kishus in their vineyard in the Kerem is allowed to. So Rav Amram Chasida Mnagad Alevei. He started hitting him for doing so. Anyone who did this. So Rav Misharsha Yavle Pruta the Tinok Nachri Vizarle. What Rav Misharsha did, he gave a couple of coins to a baby non-Jew to plant it. In order to really make a din, they paskin like a retire phone that ain't kishus beklaim bekerem. It's fine, and even though Rav allowed one to do so, so Rav Amram felt you should be machmir because we don't know what other people are going to get confused. So Misharsha made up Shari. He says, you know what? Since really it's allowed, but there's a certain concern here. Let's just hire a child, a non-Jewish child, and he'll do the planting for me, and this way he could avoid any concerns. So Gemara says, "V'litein lei litinok yisal." Why do we have to have a non-Jewish child? Give a Jewish child to do this and let him plant the vegetables. Why dafka a non-Jewish child? Gemara says, "Asa lemisrach." Because if you allow a Jewish child to do it, so he's going to grow up thinking, "Oh, you're allowed to do this. I was younger because I was available. But even when I'm a bar mitzvah boy, I could do this as well, and that would be some type of an iser." So therefore, we don't want the children to learn when they're younger to do that which is aser when they're older. So then the Gemara says, "Okay, so that's why you can't have a non-Jewish child." But maybe litein lei legadol nachi. So why dafka a child who's a non-Jew ask an older non-Jew to do it, an adult non-Jew to plant this kshusa? So Gemara says aser lechlufe b'Yisrael, because people might say, oh, just like I'm allowed to have the non-Jewish gardener do it for me, I can have the Jewish gardener for me as well, and therefore it's confusing. So if you, therefore they said it has to be a non-Jew and a child non-Jew. This way, there's no confusion of who's allowed. But again, mi'ikir adin, it's really mutter. This is just all gzeira because they lived in a place of Am Haaretz, and therefore they created this gzeira. Now, in this havamin, we had this line. The Gemara suggested, why don't we have the Jew do the planting? The Yisrael Tinok do the planting. So Rashba Yivamos proves from this Gemara that we see that when it comes to an Isser Midrabanan, you're allowed to hand it to a Jewish child. I mean, when it comes to a Tinok Yisrael, a child that Yisrael, I can't give them davaris. I can't give them pig deed. I can't give them an Isser Deraisa deed. But if it's an Isser Midrabanan, there's a machlokas. So Rashba says, since this Gemara says that why don't you give it to the Jewish child, it's an Isser Midrabanan, to plant kshusa. It's only Isser Midrabanan. Let the Jewish child do it. We see you could allow him to do an Isser Midrabanan. The only reason why we said don't give it to him is because asa l'mizrach. But me'ikra din, you can't give an Isser Midrabanan to a Jewish child. That's what the Rashba says from this. The Ritva says he doesn't think that's correct. He doesn't think this is a classic case of an Isser Midrabanan. This is a chumra midas chasidus. It's not an Isser Midrabanan. This is a much lower level. It's not even Isser Midrabanan. It's a midas chasidus. So a midas chasidus you can give a Jewish child to do. But if it goes to an Isser Midrabanan, that's naraya. That the Ritva says would be usher to do so. So it's an interesting machlokas between the Ritva and the Rashba whether an Isser Midrabanan may be given to a Jewish child or not. Part of it has to do with every derbanan's kain deraisa tikkun. So how much do we model an Isser Midrabanan after an Isser Midrabanan? Anyways, that's the second shaila. That's really, we did not allow B'nai Bishcha to do the Bishcha, rather, to do this, to plant the vegetable with the vineyard. Gemara now says, okay, the third shaila, mace, what about a person who dies in Yantif? Can he be osik in the kavura? So Shalach Lu, they sent, Rabbi Menashe sent to B'nai Bishchar, Meis lo yisasku be lo Yehudayin, lo Aramayin. When a person, a Jew dies in Yantif, you cannot have a Jew nor the non-Jews work with the bearing. Lo b'yamtif rishon, lo b'yamtif sheni, regardless if it's first day or second day of Yantif. So Aini, is that really true? V'hama Rabbi Yehuda Barshilas, Amar Rabbi Yasi. Uvda have a bebe kanishta de Maon. There's once an event in the shul in the city called Maon. B'yamtiv hasamach l'Shabbos was a yamtiv that was right next to Shabbos. Now they weren't sure if it was the yamtiv before Shabbos, the yamtiv after Shabbos, if it was a Friday yamtiv or a Sunday yamtiv. L'yadana imil faneha imil acharei. They weren't sure which way the yamtiv fell off. fell out in this particular Maisa. Regardless of when it fell out, you could have a goy be osek in the kvura. So we see if it's a 2-day yantif, if it's yantif Shabbos yantif, he says you're allowed to have the goyim be osek in it. So clearly it's allowed. So Rabbi Yochanan paskin differently than what you're saying now. So the Gemara says Amar Rava mace be yantif rishon yisasku ba amimim. When the mace dies on the first day of yantif, you could have non-Jews work on the kvura. The yomtiv sheni is asku by Yisrael. If it's the yomtiv sheni, even a yid allowed to be osik in the kfur. Vafil yomtiv sheni shirashana, and even a yomtiv sheni rashana, which is normally is more machmir than a stam yomtiv sheni, we're even able to be make a lagabe yomtiv sheni shirashana. Vashenki mebeta, as opposed to beta, where we say a beta that's laid on day one of yomtiv, you could have it on day two because only one of the days are really yomtiv. So if yesterday was yomtiv, so today is chol. If yesterday was chol and today's yomtiv, that means it was laid yesterday, which was a chol. But when it comes to the Yantav Sheini of Rosh Hashanah, we view it as Kedusha Achas, so the Beta that was born yesterday is still Aser in day two, it's considered one continuous Kedusha. But Lagabe burying, so we see that you're allowed to bury on Yantav Rishon by a Goy, and Yantav Sheini, even a Jew, could do it. So how come they paskin by B'nai Bishkar that you can't bury at all, not a Jew, not a non-Jew? And the Gemara answers again, Lufi Sheinim B'nai Torah, because in B'nai Bishkar they were Amhe Ha'aretz, and therefore we have to Machmir for Amhe Ha'aretz. There's an interesting Tosus here on top. He talks about Lamaisa, how to be Paskin. What comes out is Rabbeinu Tam assumes that in his generation where he lived, we are considered Einam B'nai Torah. We're not B'nai Torah, and therefore one has to be Machmir on these particular dinim. There is a Tosus in Beta which says the opposite, that no, where we live, at least in the times of Tosos, we are considered B'nai Torah, and therefore there's room to be Mekel. So just fascinating how one views the generations that they live in as B'nai Torah or not B'nai Torah. We find many places throughout Shas where Tosus always says, he asks the question, it's Aser. Say, how could it be? Maisim b'chol yom, we do this. It must be mutter. So he has to figure out how it's mutter. Because he was under the assumption whatever they were doing where he lived was correct. So he had to find out why they were doing, why was it correct. So an example that comes up, the Gemara B'Metzia talks about lending ribis to a non-Jew. Even though it's really mutter mikradin, we're machme even by a non-Jew. So Tosus talks about how come Maisim b'chol yom it happened. So he has to explain how exactly we're allowed to do such a thing, because Tosus was normally under the assumption that we live in a place of B'nai Torah, and what we're doing is correct. We have to just justify what we're actually doing. Only in the Broyers community do they do so. We pass in, you're allowed to, but Lamaisa, we don't do it. In Broyers, they do it, but outside Broyers, it's not done. Now, there is an interesting question brought by the Kovitz Shirim. Rav Chanan Wasserman asks a question. How could you have a goy bury for you on Yantav Rishon? You're missing out on the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to bury the dead. So now you have a non-Jew do this. How do we get the mitzvah of Kura? Ein shlichus l'goy. So how does it work? So Rav Chanan says, a basic hakira. We know every mitzvah, there's always the maisa mitzvah, and there's a totzah, and the result. We just saw Mila last parak. There's a maisa Mila, and there's being mahol, the result. So he says, who says kura is about the maisa kura? It's not a maisa kura, it's about being a kavur, that's buried, that there is a result that's accomplished. The only time shlichus is necessary is only when you're trying to accomplish a maisa. When there's no maisa that you need a result. You don't need shlichus for a result, as long as it gets done. Another example. There's a discussion between the Machane Ephraim and the Minchas Chinuch whether or not you could appoint a non-Jew to build a makkah for you, a fence around the rooftop, which is access to it. It's dangerous. There's a mitzvah deraisa to put a roof around there. Could I now hire a non-Jew to build a fence for me? Ein shlichus l'goy. So they say, there's no mitzvah to build a fence. It's not a maisa building. It's that my fence, my roof is enclosed. There's a fence around it. So who cares who builds it? As long as la maisa, I've got one at the end of the day. So kvur as well. Kvur is not about a maisa kvur. It's about being kavur, that's buried. So regardless of how it gets buried, I fulfill the mitzvah. So you don't need shlichus when it's about the totzah. You only need shlichus when it's about performing a maisa mitzvah. That's a different inin. That's a different alpi kavala that no goy should be touching it. That's a different point.
But the halacha, you're allowed to lower the mace, only to make the actual kavri.
And in terms of Hilchah Shabbos, the question of muksa. Muksa is another issue, though, however. Okay, so then the Gemara says, six lines down from the top, Amar Rabbi Abin, Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chama, Bar Gurya, Misatev Adam Bekila, Ubichsech Sachseha, V'yot Seder Shraben B'Shabbos. Veino choshesh. A person is allowed to, enwrap himself in some type of a canopy, in some type of cloth, a talus, and even though there's some ritzuah, some strands hanging from it, you're allowed to go, rishis rabim. That's not called a carrying the ritzuah. That's part of the beggar. That's part of the clothing he's wearing. It makes it look nice. So Gemara says, Maishna, why is that allowed? As opposed to midi Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, amarav hayote betalus she'ina mitzuyetes kilchasa b'shabes chayv chatas. So how come if a person's wearing a talus that's pasul? So it's pasul talus. The talus itself is allowed, that's a beged. But the tittus, the strings are, that are hanging, if it's a pasul tittus, let's say, I don't know, it only has 7 strings opposed to 8 strings, that's pasul. So it's considered carrying those 7 strings. Since I'm not doing the mitzvah, only if it's a mitzvah am I allowed to wear the tittus. If it's not a mitzvah, those strings are considered secondary and usur. How come the tittus are considered usur to carry, as opposed to the ritzuos of that kila is mutter to carry? You could wear it. So the Gemara says there's a fundamental difference. He says, tzitzis lagave talis chashivi, v'lo bali, honey lo chashivi ubali. Tzitzis are chashiv. We don't say that the tzitzis become secondary to the talis. What's the mitzvah of tzitzis? The strings, not the talis. The talis is chayiv to have tzitzis on them. But when I have my tzitzis are more chashiv than my beged. This is the mitzvah. My beged has no mitzvah. My tzitzis are the mitzvah. So therefore, the tzitzis are always considered more chashiv than the beged and cannot be batal. So if my tzitzis are not being done halachically correct, they're considered independent. I'm just carrying strings on Shabbos. As opposed to the kila, where the little ritzuos, the little decorative threads, are not there as a mitzvah of tzitzis. They're very secondary to my beged, so there the threads are considered batal to my kila, batal to my beged, and therefore I'm allowed to carry them on yantif, on Shabbos. I can wear it on Shabbos. There's an interesting discussion. The Ritva points out there's a machlok is whether or not a person needs to wear tchelis or not wear tchelis as part of tzitzis on Shabbos. When a person wears the tzitzis on Shabbos, so their one opinion says if he wears tchelis, you're allowed to. If without tchelis, since you're not fulfilling the mitzvah entirely, so therefore one violates the carrying on Shabbos. So therefore the Ritva quotes opinion that a person should not go out and Rosh Rabbim on Shabbos wearing tzitzis if he doesn't have tchelis. Because perhaps we paskin that tchelis is ma'akev, the love on the mission of Menachos. But the Ramban is not sure. We don't paskin like that opinion. We paskin like Chachamim, that love on and tchelis are not ma'akev each other. If you only have white, if you only have tchelis or not ma'akev, there are two different elements, but not ma'akev. And therefore, a person that has tzitzis without tchelis still gets the mitzvah, and you certainly can go out wearing tzitzis in Rosh Hashanah, even though one does not have tchelis. But an interesting question is brought, what about at nighttime? Nighttime, there is no mitzvah of tzitzis. Can a person wear tzitzis at nighttime if I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah? Is that going to be allowed? So the Rif says that some actually point out that you should not wear tzitzis balayla on Shabbos if there's no Erev, because it's not a mitzvah and therefore it's simply considered carrying the strings. But the Rambam clearly says that you're allowed to wear tzitzis even balayla on Shabbos, even though there's no Erev. Why is that the case? Because once tzitzis is done halachically correct, it's considered an extension of the malbush. It's not because I'm getting the mitzvah, but once it's halachically correct, it's called part of the malbush. I can wear it bein b'yom, bein b'layla, and it's no different than wearing tefillin on Shabbos. Tefillin, there's no mitzvah wearing tefillin on Shabbos, but we know the halacha is the Gemara in Erevin. If you find tefillin on the ground somewhere, you need to get it out. You're allowed to wear it and carry it to wherever you are. Ah, it's not a mitzvah. It's not about the mitzvah. It's about wearing something. So once you're wearing it the correct way, that's considered a malbush and not violating the din. One last point before you go weiter. There is an interesting question the Mishnah Melech asks. Oh, we're running out of time, actually. No, forget it. Let's go weiter. The Gemara then says, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, he says, Marim Adam al Mishmeres b'yamtiv litlos ba rimonim v'tola ba shmarim. So we said before, you're not allowed to set up one of these strainers on Shabbos, but there's a way to do ha'arama, to play some games here, do a little bit of a loophole here. So what you could do is you could suspend a little cloth as a basket to hold rimonim, to hold pomegranates, which is allowed. And then after you put the pomegranates, take them off and then use it to start pouring wine in a yantif. On yantif, we had said, according to the Chachamim, there are 2 points. One is suspending the mishmeres. Number two was borer. On yantif, there's no issue of the borer pouring the wine through. The only issue is making the ohel. So you can make the ohel by using it to hold up rimonim. And then once you did that, take it off. Oh, perfect. I've got a strainer. Let's pour the wine through. And that's a way to do a harama to get it to go up. The Gemara talks about something similar. If there's a mace outside on Shabbos, and the mace is very hot, the mace is going to start decomposing very quickly, so you need to protect it. And either you can move it, it's muksa, so you could put a baby on it, on a kikar, or what you could do is you could set up a tent. The Gemara talks about how to set up a tent in such a way where it's permitted. You say, oh, you're very hot, you cover yourself up, and you put the walls up, and end up you leaving, and when it comes out, you just create some type of ohel to protect and shade the mace. So there are types of haramas you could do in order to make an ohel. So this is one of them. You set up something to hold rimonim, take it off, and now you've got a strainer, start pouring the wine through. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, v'hu de talabat rimonim. It's only true if you actually do put rimonim on it. But if you don't actually put rimonim on it in the first place, then that would not be allowed. So you have to put some pomegranates, then you can remove them, and then pour the wine through. So Maishna Meha, why is it any different than the following case, Titania? Matilin Sheikhar Bemoid Latsara Hamoid, a person is allowed to pour the hops into the beer to make the beer on Chalamoid if it's for the purpose of Chalamoid. We know certain things of certain malachas cannot be done, certain tircha should not be done on Chalamoid unless it's going to be Latsara Hamoid, so that's allowed Latsara Hamoid. Shalola Tzarech Moed, if it's not for the Moed, it's for some time after Chol Moed, after Yontif is all over, that would be Asa to do so. This is true Echad Sheikha Tamarim, Echad Sheikha Tzarem, whether it's not, whether it's based on a date beer or barley beer, Afa Pishyeshla Yashon, even though you have old beer and you really don't need the beer now for Chol Moed, you're still allowed to make it. Marim Vishosim Nechadosh, you could say, you know what, I'm in the mood for fresh barley, not the old beer I've got. I'll use the old beer some other time, but right now I want to enjoy fresh beer. You're allowed to do so. That's allowed. So how come that's allowed? You don't have to do any harama by the beer. You don't have to like play games. You just say, I want fresh beer. That's enough. So how come you have to do by the Shabbos? You have to suspend it, put the rimonim on. You have to do some movement here. So the Gemara says, because hasam over there, lo muchacha milsa, hacha muchacha milsa. Over there, by the case of the moed, when a person makes beer, the new beer, nobody knows that I've got in my garage old beer. No one knows. They just see, I'm making beer. They probably assume this is the only beer that I've got, so there's nothing for me else to do to try to create an impression. When it comes to making the mishmeres, if people see me making mishmeres, it looks like I'm making an ohel. So in order to make sure no one thinks I'm making an ohel, I put pomegranates. They say, oh, you're just trying to hold up pomegranates, and then I take it off and afterwards use it for wine. That's the difference. So if the harama is going to be unclear to the outside, I need to do a maisa to clarify what it's doing. But if it's not going to be clear, that's aser, then I don't have to do anything further. The Gemara then says, Amri lei Rabbanan le Rav Ashi. Chazi mar, hai tzubim Rabbanan, I saw a certain Talmud Chacham, Rav Huna bar Rebbe Chivan Shemei, that was his name. Amila, others say Rav Huna bar Rebbe Chilvan Shemei, that was his name. I don't know if he comes up in Shas other than this. The Shakal bara de Tuma umanach bebarza de Dana. He took a little garlic and he placed it on the side of a barrel to kind of plug it. And he says, even though doing so would seem to be a tikkun mana, sound like you're fixing or plugging a hole on Shabbos, which is an issue of tikkun mana, even though it's aser, he says, Amar litznua kimechavna, I'm just I'm trying to hold and preserve my garlic. He wasn't trying to plug the hole. Now, in reality, he was plugging the hole in the barrel. That's also to do so. But he also, the other perspective could be, I just want to hide my garlic. So he was hiding his garlic in a hole in the barrel, which is allowed. So he says he did one thing, even though his intention was something else. And furthermore, he says, Azil v'nam b'mivra, he went to take a nap on a boat on Shabbos, v'avar l'hadch gisa, and he ended up, the non-Jew was driving the boat, he took him to the other side of the river, even though that's also, you can't tell a goy to drive a boat for Yon Yontif, v'sayah piri, and then the enemy took out, he took the fruit out and was starting to protect, he was shomer fruit on the other side of the river, so how that's in violation, to have a goy drive a boat for you on Shabbos, how are you able to do this? He says, no, I didn't plan to go on the boat ride. Amar ana l'minim kimechavna. I was just trying to take a nap, and I saw that there was an empty bed on the boat. So it happened to be, I slept in the boat. I woke up, and he took me to the other side. So these are two cases of clear harama, where he said his kavana was for one thing, but his clear intention was for something else. So how is that allowed? So Amar lei, harama kamras, you're talking about harama? You're so bothered by me doing harama? Harama is not a big deal. Harama b'dirabanan hi, b'tzubra mirabanan lo asi l'meved l'chachila. Why is harama, why are loopholes aser in halacha? Because if you allow this, it's going to lead to much worse things. It's a gzera. If people make this a joke, they're going to make something else a joke. However, when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, a Tzurim Mirabanan, we know that the Yare Shemaim, they're not going to play games with halacha, and therefore for a Talmud Chacham, he's allowed to do harama. He's allowed to do harama. It's a special exception. This is a very dangerous thing to do, of course. All these loopholes, people think rabbis are above everyone else, they're above halacha, they do whatever they want. It is a very dangerous halacha, but in the end of the day, the Gemara does say harama does not apply to a Talmud Chacham. The Mishnah says, Hanosim mayim agavi shmarim b'shvil sheyitzol. A person is allowed to pour water over sediment on Shabbos. Why is that? Because even the shmarim, after you've separated the shmarim from the wine, the shmarim themselves still have some wine waterlogged inside them. So when you pour water over it, you flush out the wine that's in them, and you're able to create more wine. That's allowed to be done on Shabbos. Umisanin esayayin, you're able to also sift or strain the wine as well, that's allowed. Besudarim, using a type of handkerchief or a bekfifa mitzvah or some type of basket, that's all allowed on Yantif. There's not a normal way of doing a strainer, but it's allowed anyways because it's some type of shinur. Now, the way they explain this in the Mefarshim is as follows. And Farshu explained that if it's a situation that it's a wine that everybody would drink, so then you're allowed to do a regular strainer. We'll see in the Gemara, if I'm going to drink the water in my house, whether it's strained or not strained, filtered or not filtered, I would drink it from the tap. I'll drink it from the filter as well. So there's no problem of filtering that on Yontif. Because there's no Shabbos. There's no change for me. I would drink the water whether it's filtered or not filtered. But that's permitted. Let's say most people would drink it. But me personally, I would not drink the water. Even though most people would drink the water, I just have a little more makbid. So then I can't use a regular filter, but I can use some type of shinoi filter. So these cases here of sudarim, using a handkerchief or a kfi mitzvah or a basket, that's not a normal strainer. It's a shinoi. So if it's a case of shinoi, I'm allowed to use a shinoi if I'm personally a makbid on straining it. So then the Mishnah says further, "Benosin beta b'misanenes shelchardel." A person's allowed to put an egg in a strainer. What they would do is sometimes in a chardel mustard, they want the mustard to look yellow. Right? Oftentimes, this is actually an interesting shaila in halacha in marketing. Can you change a color of something marketing to make it look nicer, even though it's not really that way? You want to make the cake look fresher, so you give it a little look, even though it doesn't look fresh. But you give the impression you put like nice icing on the outside, make it look fresh. So what they used to do, they make the mustard look yellower than it actually was to make it a little more appealing. So how would they do? How would they make it yellow? They would take an egg, they crack it on top of a strainer, and then the white part, since it's so sticky, would stay on top, and the yellow would end up falling through the strain, and the white part would stay on top. So now the yellow would fall into the chardel, into the mustard, and it'd give it a very yellow look to it. So that's allowed to be done on Shabbos because your intention is not to separate. You're not trying to be borer exactly. It's just a way of coloring the chardel. And there's no issue of tovea here either, because we paskin ein tzvia be'ochlin, there's no problem of coloring food, and therefore there's no issue of a borer. I believe the Gemara tomorrow's daf will explain a little bit more about this separating of the egg. I'm just getting through the Mishnah right now. Then the Mishnah says further, ve'osin and nemolin b'Shabbos, you can make a nomolin, some type of potion, some type of mixture, that's allowed on Shabbos if you don't mix it, but if you just pour them together without doing mixing, is fine as well. We'll see this too in the Gemara tomorrow. It's an issue of tircha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'Shabbos b'kos, you could only on Shabbos make a small cup of this because otherwise it's too much tircha. Yantif, we tolerate a little bit more tircha. So Yantif belagin, which is a bigger pitcher, and moed chal moed, we allow even more preparation, which is the size of a chavis, a whole barrel. Rabbi Tzadik Omer hakol for your orchin, it doesn't depend on the day; it depends on the guests. If you have a little bit of guests, so you only a small cup. If you have a lot of guests, you can make as big as you want in order to serve the orchim even on Shabbos. Fine. So the Gemara now says that we're almost at the end of the daf. Now, Amar Ziri Nosin Adam Yain Tzalul Umaim Tzlulin Lesoch HaMishmeres B'Shabbos Ve'Nochoshes. You're allowed to pour wine that's already clear and water that's already clear, meaning it's already been filtered. And you want to just, do some extra filter, even though it's really clear as it is. That's allowed on Shabbos, rather. It's completely permitted. It's the case I said that if you're willing to drink from the tap on Shabbos, and then drink from the filter is allowed as well because nothing's really being accomplished by putting it through a filter. That's yayin tzalul or mayim tzlulin, water or wine that's already been clear and sifted through. Aval, what's implied from this, however, is achurin, if it's dirty water, if it's dirty wine, lo, that's also, you cannot pass it through the mishmeres. So Gemara says, really, you're not allowed to do it through a mishmeres. If it's achurin, meisive. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Torah Adam Chavis Shayin, a person is able to mix together wine, Yainu Shmareha, the wine with the sediment, but no sin the Toch Mishmeres B'Shabbos, Veinu Choshesh, and you can pour it in Mishmeres and Shabbos, even though it is mixed, even though it is Achurim. So while the previous statement said only Tzlulin is allowed, only clear wine and water is allowed, this Gemara clearly says that even if it's full with Shmarim, you're allowed to put it through the Mishmeres. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Targuma Ziri Bein Agitos Shanu. The case of Ziris is a different time when talking about Bein Agitos is a certain season of the year, Tammuz, when everyone is drinking clear wine. When the only wine available is clear wine, so then you're not allowed to start separating the dirty wine because you don't really need the dirty wine. But the Brisa is talking about a case where it's the winter months where all wine is dirty, so everyone drinks dirty wine. Not dirty, I mean dirty, means it has shmarim in them. So if everyone's drinking shmarim, so putting it through the filter doesn't really change much because you would drink it even without the filter. So in other words, it all depends on what's available, depends on the season, whether you could put it through the mishmeres or not put it through the mishmeres. And then the Gemara says, Amarevi, rather Misan, it's a yayin besudrim, you could put wine through the handkerchiefs, because that's a type of shinoi. So Amarev Simi Barachia Ubivaj Lo Yasa Guma, as long as you don't make a hole. Right, when you make a strainer, so sometimes you want to make a little hole, to like a little cavity, so the wine falls in. Making that hole, shaping it with the sudar, would be some type of uvda, the chol, Rashi says, or because of schita, might come to stretch it out and squeeze it out. So don't fashion a hole when you're holding that sudar, just hold it tight, And eventually, when you pour the wine, the wine's going to cause it to create a cavity on its own, but one himself should not position such a hole, because that's some type of uvda dechol. So then the Gemara says, b'kfifa mitzis, they're turning a basket upside down to pass the wine through as a strainer. As long as you don't lift the basket, a tefach above the ground, because otherwise it looks like you're making an ohel. If there's a tefach between the basket and the ground, that looks like an ohel. That should not be done on Shabbos. Now it's a whole, fine. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav, high prunka. Prunka is a type of cloth that you use to cover a top of a barrel. High prunka, apalga de kuba. You could cover half a barrel, shari, but akula kova aser. But to place a cover cloth on top of an entire barrel, that's aser to do on Shabbos. Why is it aser to do on Shabbos? So there's a machlokas here. According to Rashi, Rashi thinks because it's creating an ohel. Tosa says, you can't cover a kli on Shabbos, that's an ohel, that's a cover. Tosa says, no, it's only allowed to cover if it's a small kli. But if it's a really big kli, that's considered an ohel. Rashi says, you can't cover a big kli on Shabbos, that's an ohel. So Rashi says, the issue here has nothing to do with an ohel. Even though Rashi Tosa thinks covering a barrel will be an ohel, the Rashi says the issue here is because when you cover such a big barrel, it looks like you're setting up for a mishmeres, for a strainer. That's issue. Not because of an oil, because it looks like you're about to do borer. That's the issue that the Rashi says is going on here. It's a gezerah because the Mara's eye, and it looks like you're setting up, again, a mishmeres. So then the Gemara says, and we'll finish with this, Amar Papa lo nihadik inish tsinyasa bepuma de kuzne de chavisa. They sometimes have a small little jug, and they pour from that wine into a big chavis. So a person can't put like hard pieces of barley on top of the small cup here, because it's going to hold back the sediment. They make some type of sifter. Imagine you have a kli. So if I pour the wine and sediment, it's all going to fall off the barrel. So I put some type of hard piece of wood here and position it in the cup. When I pour it out, it's going to hold back the sediment. That's also to do on Shabbos. Mishum de mechse k'mishmeres. Looks like you're creating a mishmeres on Shabbos. And then finally, the Beira Papa, Shafu Shicha Mimena Lamana. You're allowed to pour beer from one cup to the other. That's all allowed. Even though it's going to, when you pour back, the bottom of the bad part, the psoas of beer, stays in the bottom. So when you pour, only the top comes out, and you're separating the psoas on the bottom. That's allowed, he says, on Shabbos. Amalei, Rav Acha Medifti, Lerina, Haika Nitzotis. Isn't there a problem of Nitzotis, the little things in the bottom of the beer, that when you pour the top, you're now separating the bottom of the beer to the top of the beer? Isn't that a violation of Borer? And he says, no, Nitzotit, the Beirav, Papa Lo Chashiva. They don't really acknowledge the Nitzotis, those little drops of the barley, and they're not machbid on it, whether it's there or it's not there, meaning they would drink it even if it was there, and therefore when pouring it out and separating it, that doesn't really make a difference to them, and therefore it's not considered barah. Okay? We'll meet Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.